we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in on this tremendous Tuesday to WMIE 91.5 FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we are thankful that you have chosen to make this next half hour something that strengthens you spiritually and helps you in your spiritual development. So we are very thankful for that. And, you know, I'm here this morning and my cell phone went off this morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. And for a pastor, that's never good. You know, when you've got family that lives in other parts of the country, that's never good. You know, it's almost always an emergency. And I, even though I had the ringer turned off, I had my alarm set, and my phone is connected to my smartwatch, my Fitbit. And so I'm sound asleep, and I'm awakened by the sound of my phone vibrating, even though it's not ringing, and my wrist is vibrating. And so I just immediately go on to all hands on deck, you know, wide awake, alert. And I look at my caller ID, and it was someone calling from Estonia. And I don't know anybody in Estonia. And so I just slid that thing on, can't talk to you right now, deleted the call, blocked the number. But the damage had been done. I've been wide awake ever since that happened at 4 o'clock this morning. And so I'm canceling all future trips to the nation of Estonia, just like I have Sierra Leone and anybody else that calls me in incessantly from numbers that I don't know anybody from that number at. But Jesus is on the throne. I talked to him this morning. I pray that you did as well. And as we get into the Word of God today, we are going to be seeing some things that God delivers us from and delivers us to. Do want to let you know there's a men's event that is coming up at River of Life Assembly of God Church on North Courtney Parkway. We are partners together. They've got a pastor, I'm the pastor, but we're best friends. And so we're not in competition with one another. We're in cooperation with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and with one another. They have a men's event that's coming up this Saturday. Former Navy SEAL is going to be ministering. There's going to be breakfast involved. There's going to be some worship involved. There's going to be a time in the Word that's taking place. And so if you are interested in going, I want to encourage you, call them and let them know that you're interested in coming so that they can make adequate preparations. Our men's ministry is going to be traveling down or up Courtney Parkway a little over 2 miles to be part of this event. And we wanted to give them a shout out and let you know that's coming up Saturday morning. I believe the time is 9 o'clock in the morning, if I remember correctly. You can call 452-6990 to find out for sure, like I will have to do to make sure that I don't show up late. But I believe it is 9 o'clock in the morning. You can find out more by their church sign or logging onto their webpage. Just type in River of Life Merritt Island and you ought to be able to find out that address. So today we want to take you to Romans chapter 7. We're going to work our way through Romans chapter 7. This is in our study on deliverance, Romans chapter 7. And I'm not going to read through the whole chapter today. We're going to read through the first six verses. And then if we have time, we'll move on from there. So Romans chapter 7, verse number 1 says this, or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives, but if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions were aroused by the law. The sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So verse number 6 talks about the deliverance, but now we have been delivered from the law. And so that's where we want to start today. We want to focus on what God has delivered us from. So I'm going to give you a little bit of context from chapter 7 here about the relationship, the nature of the law that we have been delivered from. And we'll see some of those things, because many people think that because we have been delivered from the law, that now we live in a state of spiritual anarchy. We get to do whatever we want to do. Nobody can tell us any different, because after all, it's all part of the old covenant. It's all been part of the old law. And you, in adopting that mindset, we fail to fully grasp this concept that God has delivered us from the law. So I want to try and equip us a little bit better so that we can be set up and established to be able to live in what God has delivered us to. So let's look at verse number 1, and Paul writes there, "Do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law." He was not writing to people who had zero understanding of the law. He was talking to people who knew the law. They understood the law. They lived under the mandates of the old covenant. And so it wasn't something that they were uninformed about. They had an adequate grasp on it. They knew the frustrations from it. Paul in chapter 7 here identifies his own personal frustrations with the law. He also describes the benefits of the law. And so he says, "For I speak to those who know the law." You and I, if we are going to be effective in communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ to people, we've got to understand where they are at spiritually. We've got to understand the background that they come from. We need to understand the work that the Holy Spirit has already done in their life. Because it is that walking and that understanding and being interested and invested in someone's life that gives you and I credibility to be able to speak to that situation. So we wouldn't go to a doctor if the doctor prescribed the same solution to every patient that came in. He didn't listen to them. He just walked in and said, "You know what? We're going to give you this prescription." We would consider that medical malpractice. Well, you've got to understand that if we're going to be able to speak into a person's life, we've got to understand where they're coming from. Many people don't understand the righteous requirements of God at all. They don't understand the law of sin and death. They don't understand the law of love that God wants to have us to live in. And so if we will take just a little bit of time to develop relationships, we will be a lot more effective in communicating God's spiritual answer to man's spiritual problem. And so he says, "Look, I'm writing to people who understand, who know the law, And that sets him up for the next statement that he makes, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. There are some spiritual, or there are some natural laws that as long as we are alive, they are going to continue to have authority in our lives. What Paul goes on to write to the Romans here is we needed someone to change the dynamic that would break the power of, or the authority of that law over our lives. So he says, that law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. My mind tells me that I can still do things that I could when I was 15 and 16 years old. And my body says, you might want to rethink that just a little bit. And so we've got some boys in our church that are now getting up into their teen years. And, we've walked with them as they've grown up over the past 4 or 5 years. And now they are getting quite skilled at basketball. And my brain tells my mouth to, you know, tell them, hey, you don't want any of this over here. But my body, when I get out there, says, you know what? You are not in as good a shape as you were when you were their age. So I have limited bike riding capabilities. They ride their bikes for miles and miles and miles. And when they're not riding their bikes, they're playing basketball and they're doing all sorts of stuff. But I get out there and I give it my best shot. And the law that's of mortality, if you will, says, you know what? You are not as young as you used to be. So the law has dominion over men. When I took civics class, and I remember taking civics in eighth grade, and my teacher's name, it started with a K. I don't know if I would get it right if I pronounced it, but I distinctly remember him walking us through the Constitution. I remember him walking us through the Bill of Rights, and I remember him teaching us this principle that says ignorance of the law is no excuse for the law. In other words, just because we are uninformed about something doesn't mean that we are excused or we are not living under the mandate of that law. If that law has been legislatively passed, signed into law by the executive, or vetoes overridden by the Congress, and you know it passes constitutional muster, then we are living under the weight of that law, whether we know the law exists or whether we have never heard of the law before. And so Paul says that there's this law of sin and death, if you will, that's going to continue to have authority over a person's life until there is a transition of power. And the transition of authority that he was talking about here specifically is when there is a death, then all of a sudden there's a law that no longer has bearing. And he goes and he talks about, you know, people who are married. If one of them dies, the other person is no longer living under that covenant that they had before. So he goes on and he says in verse number 4, therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another. So what he's telling the Romans here is in this spiritual analogy is that Jesus died so that we could be broken from the oppression of a law that we could never live up to the very merits of it. I would consider that to be liberating. And it's not freed to just go and do whatever. This woman that is described here was not free to just go and have whatever relations with whatever man she wanted to have for as many different men. That's not what is described here. Said she's released from the one covenant so that she could walk in a greater covenant. And that's what you and I are privileged to be able to do. God has come, and through the death of Jesus Christ, he has delivered us from the covenant or the law of sin and death. He's broken that power so that we could be enabled to live under a completely different covenantal structure. So, and what he says is, Christ died so that you and I could become dead to the law. In other words, that law would not have power over us anymore. That we could enter into covenant or be married to another. And he specifically says, to him who was raised from the dead, that is Christ. And so he breaks the power of the covenant of sin and death in our lives so that we can walk in covenant with the resurrection and the life. And so, and it tells us here the purpose. So we have been delivered from an old oppressive covenant to live in an extremely liberating covenant that we can fulfill everything that God wants us to fulfill. And he describes the purpose of it in verse number 4. And it says that we should bear fruit to God. The truth of the matter is that every believer should be actively engaged in this great evangelism project that God has created from before the foundation of the world. He has committed the faith of the Son of God into the hands of the saints, and he's done it one time. He does it once and for all. He's not taking it back. You and I, we are God's plan A, we're his plan B, we're plan C, because there is no other plan. He's not going to be empowering a bunch of grasshoppers or a bunch of kitty cats or a bunch of dogs or you substitute robots are not going to be able to do what has been entrusted to you and I to do. We are ambassadors for Christ. You and I are supposed to be bearing fruit. That fruit will involve spiritual fruit like the law or the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Because of what Christ has done and that he died and he rose again and now we're walking in covenant with him, we should not be manifesting the fruit of the flesh, the works of the flesh, but we should be manifesting the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. So that's a great thing. He says here, the reason that we have been liberated from the old so that we could live for the new covenant is for the very express purpose of bearing fruit. There should not be any bench sitters in the kingdom of God. I don't care how old you are, if there's still breath in your lungs, you and I are still on mission, on task. We're on the job. And so just like when that phone rang at 4 o'clock in the morning, I fully expected it to be an emergency. So I answered it as if there was something that I was going to need to do right then and right there. So today I want you to recognize that you are on assignment. You have a job to do. You've got relational responsibilities that you've got. You've got financial obligations that you must meet. But there is also a spiritual privilege, and that is to be attached to the vine so that we produce spiritual fruit. There is no fruitfulness apart from being faithfully connected to the vine, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus delivered us from the old covenant, and he delivered us into a new covenant for this purpose, that we should bear fruit. Verse number 5 goes, for when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. So now Paul puts them back into perspective of what life was like under the old covenant again. And that is, under that covenant, the law caused sinful passions to be aroused. If you don't believe that that is something that happens, tell somebody not to tell someone a secret that you are about to share with them. You tell them, you can't say anything. You know what's going to happen? That's going to burn like an inferno inside of them until they break down, and they're going to want to find some way to get around the commitment that they made not to gossip about it until they have been able to pass that along. Sometimes in the church, it will go like this. Well, I just need you to be praying for so-and-so about this situation. I can't tell you all of the details, but girl, they are in a heap of trouble. Well, all of a sudden, everybody's going to be calling them. And so we, instead of praying, we have now gone into the gossip hotline. The grapevine has been fully activated, and we're living underneath the covenant that we're supposed to. You tell a child, now don't touch this. You tell Eve, you tell Adam, you know, don't partake of the fruit of this tree. You've got 16 billion trees on the planet that you can partake of, but don't partake of this one over here, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And which one do you think that they were enticed to? You see, sometimes whenever you tell somebody not to do something, if they are still living under the law of sin and death, their desires, their passions are going to be aroused, and they're going to be completely fixated on doing the very thing that they're told not to do. And you have to understand that when God tells us not to do something, it's because doing that would be injurious to us. It would hurt us. It would bring us misery, not joy. And so God always has a reason. And so if you are attracted to participating in something that God has told you not to participate in, you know that it's sin, and yet your passions are still aroused, I want to ask you to reflect upon which covenant you are trying to live under. There were people who were liberated from the old covenant, walking in the new covenant, and people kept trying to draw them back into that old covenant relationship. And you will find a spirit of legalism that will try and drag you back in to a law of doing or dying, and instead of walking in a covenant of liberty and life. And so one of the indicators that we have is, what is stimulating your passions? What is causing your mind to be fixated on something? And if it is sinful, it is going to bear fruit, not to God like believers are supposed to under the new covenant, but it's going to bear fruit to death. The word death is a word, a concept that means separation. Okay? There are certain things that you and I cannot afford to be separated from. We can't afford to be separated from God. We can't afford to be separated from electrical activity taking place with precision in our brain. We cannot be separated from a functioning heart. We cannot be separated from oxygen. If we are separated from those things, then it is going to result in us being separated from life. And so Paul says that whenever sinful passions are aroused by the law and they begin to work in our members, what it's going to do is it's going to bear fruit, not to God, but to death. And we don't want that. Verse number 6 says this, "But now we have been delivered from that law, having died to what we were held by." Now, if you look back to verse number 4, it says, "Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ." Now it says, "But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by." You and I have got to realize that that law held us in captivity, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It wasn't whether or not we had sinned. All of us had sinned. If we had violated one principle of the law, we are guilty of violating everything of the law. And there are people that say, well, if I'm going to blow it, I'm going to blow it big. That's not the right answer. You and I, we don't want to be blowing it. We don't want to be blowing it with increasing frequency or increasing magnitude. What we want is to be set free from that. And part of that that liberating process is we take ourselves spiritually and we take up our cross and follow Jesus on a regular basis. Every day, something has to die inside of us. There might be a plan. It might be something that there's not a whole lot of people that are talking about, but if it is robbing you of your time and your attention from God, then it is something that is trying to displace God in your life, and we don't need to tolerate that. We need that desire that we have inside of us to absolutely perish. There are some things that I used to have an intense longing for. I used to have an intense longing for Pepsi. Okay. Now I can still drink a Pepsi, but I don't have to have it constantly. In fact, I don't keep it in my house very often because I don't want that having dominion over me. I don't want the effects of that thing working in my body to destroy the organs. So I've been delivered from that, which, I take it. There are some things that I've completely said, you know what? That's not having a good influence, and it's out of here. What is God dealing with you about? You know, because he's constantly pruning. He's constantly working in our lives to get rid of that sometimes, which is good, to prepare us for something that is great. He's getting rid of things that are unhealthy so that we can be healthy. He wants us to get rid of things that are unholy so that we can represent him in even greater holiness. Some things are an attack on the love that God wants us to have in our lives that is supposed to be the mark of distinction of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Don't let anything survive spiritually in your life that is threatening the love that you have for God and the love that you have for other people. God bless you. We'll talk more tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."